It's Nightlife.
Have you had the talk about the birds and the bees with the kids yet? How did you approach it? How did it go? Were they able to tell you much? For many parents, it's a difficult discussion to have, and you might think your kids already have all the information they need, on screen, mags, books, videos, even in music, there's pretty heavy sexual content, not to mention some rather graphic stuff available at the click of a button on your phone. But does it mean children these days are more educated about sex than before? Or are they getting the wrong message? Tonight, relationship coach and sex therapist Jacqueline Hellier is with us in studio tonight to talk about how you can bring kids up with some positive attitudes towards sex and their own sexuality. Welcome back. Great to see you.
Yeah, good to be back.
I suppose we should start by defining what we mean by a positive attitude to sex. I think it perhaps got bit battered in the 80s and 90s with AIDS.
Yes. What's important about having a positive attitude to sex is that you see sex as a very fundamental and important part of life. We're very sexual creatures. Mm-hmm. When sex is good, it's very enhancing in our lives. And it's important that our children grow up so that they can transition from childhood into adulthood in a way that they can embrace their sexuality in a positive way and use their sexuality to enhance their lives rather than detract from it.
So kids should be well informed about sex.
Yes.
A lot of parents are a little bit nervous about doing that because they think, well, you know, if we introduce the subject early, we may be setting ourselves up for a fall.
Yes, it's very important that you frame it in a child-appropriate way, and depending on the age of the child. And when we're talking about sex education, it's not just about the, you know, the genitals and what goes in where and all that sort of stuff. I always encourage people in general to look at sex in a much broader way and as part of, you know, pleasure and well-being and all these sorts of things. So, like, for instance, with my own children, I have three children. I'm no longer with my with my then husband, but we brought our children up to know that mummy and daddy have cuddle time.
Yep.
Right. And particularly mummy and daddy being very tired mummies and daddies with three children tended to have cuddle time on a Sunday morning, right? So the children would be allowed to watch lots of videos or be encouraged to build extremely large space stations with their Lego and so forth.
A good plan, as they say.
Well, yeah, because children understand that cuddles are good. They like cuddles. Cuddles feel nice. And so if you explain to your children that mummy and daddy have cuddle time because we're making love, and when mummy and daddy make love for each other, we're making love for the whole family.
Yes.
They get that.
And it's a good thing.
And it's a good thing. You know, that's what I think is so important. And just to share a story, I remember my eldest, when he was five, he came home from school. He would have been in kindy, I think, at the time. And he came home and he goes, "Mum, Dad, do you have, whoa," you know, chuckle, chuckle, "yes, whoa," you know, snigger, snigger.
Yeah.
And we looked at him, we go, "Well, yes, that's cuddle time." And the look on his face, he was so perplexed. He was bamboozled. Mm. Like, how could this very normal, natural cuddle time thing be the same as this, like, really dirty, sordid? Like, even at the age of five, he could tell that it was sordid.
Yes. You know?
And I'm so pleased that his early encounters with the whole concept of sexuality was a positive one.
Is this something that is perhaps coming sometimes from the discussions about stranger danger? Is that sometimes getting a bit mixed up?
Well, yes, there's a lot of fear associated with sex education. Mm. And so much of what children are taught at school is fear-based, right? Like, for a start, you know, it's not really sex education. It's reproduction education. Like, you know, we're taught how to have babies and not have babies. And these days we're also taught, you know, quite rightly, about trying to avoid diseases and trying to avoid strangers and all these sorts of things, and don't let people touch you. I mean, which is all very right and proper, but where's the balance? Like, they're not getting the positives at school. Okay.
It's supposed to be fun.
Well, yeah, and it's a good thing. It's life enhancing, and that's why it's so important, I believe, for parents to model a positive sexuality.
But I think it's probably a difficulty for the teachers, because you know, as you experience, you know, all you get is dirty looks and giggles sometimes, you know?
Well, yeah, you get that when you tell people you're a sex therapist. People don't take sex seriously. And I think it's such a shame in our society. And when you actually spend your days talking to people about their sexuality and you see how our very limited, quite prudish, you know, attitude to sex has just really screwed people up. And if people aren't feeling positive about their sexuality, it really affects the whole of life.
How does having the information empower you to make right decisions?
Well, it's like having information on anything. The more information you have, the better able you are to make a decision, right? So I suppose my poor children, I'm going to use them as examples a bit tonight. But just fast forward 10 years from when my eldest was 5, he gets to 15, right? And he has his first serious girlfriend. I'm thinking, better make sure that, you know, have a talk about condoms just in case. So I'm like, you know, can we have a bit of a chat? And he just looked at me and he goes, Mum, I'm only 15. He goes, I'm not going to do that yet. And you know what, Mum? I just love lying on the trampoline, holding my girlfriend's hand, looking up at the stars. You know, it doesn't get better than that.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, isn't that nice? But this is coming from a 15-year-old boy who's been brought up to know that sex and sexuality is a positive thing and that essentially it's about love and connection and good feelings and pleasure.
Jacqueline, we've had somebody on Twitter, JW, say we basically told them in the nicest, honest way and then had a Q&A after.
Yes.
Thank God it's over. It's one of those things where I suppose for some parents it is difficult territory.
Yes, well, it is, and that's why I encourage people to start earlier rather than later, because if you wait until your kid's 15, it is a bit awkward.
Part of the problem is that puberty seems to be coming on a lot earlier than in previous generations, and I think we've discussed last time you were in the fact that, you know, we're finding that a young lady is coming of age, you know, at 9 and 10.
Yes, indeed.
So this surprises a lot of parents, I think.
Yes, and that's why it's so important that we let our children know what's going on from an early age. Mm. And as I say, if you frame it in a positive life-enhancing way, and that's not actually about, you know, penis in vagina type activity yet. You know, my daughter's almost 12. She came home from school today and said, oh, you know, my friend so-and-so got her period today. And I said, oh, really? And she goes, yeah, so, I took her to get her stuff. And because my daughter was, you know, I mean, even though they've had lots of talks about puberty this year, you know, because they're in year 6, you know, apparently her friend was kind of a little bit freaking out. And my daughter was like, don't worry, you know, this is what you do. We've got this.
She's become the font of all knowledge. But what is important to underline here, and this is a story that will be in the papers tomorrow in the Adelaide Advertiser, there's a new study in South Australia that says children as young as 12 are testing positive to STDs.
They are.
Promoting warnings that young people aren't heeding the safer sex message. The level of gonorrhea has been extraordinarily high.
Yes.
And chlamydia.
And
cases
chlamydia,
are in
huge
now
problem.
Into thousands now.
Chlamydia is a huge problem because it can cause infertility later on. Like young people don't realise that. So the thing is that if children aren't getting good quality information, they're going to turn to the internet, right? And if they're getting this sort of fear-based, fairly prudish information that they get at school, and I don't really want to criticise school sex ed because I know they have constraints, which is why I'm stressing how important it is that parents model a positive sexuality.
This is part of the problem too, isn't it? Because, I mean, every family is different. Every parent's attitude, I guess, is slightly different. And so therefore, you know, when you're trying to go down the middle line, it's sometimes not easy to get the tone right.
Well, look, it's not easy, and that's why so much of what I do is about helping adults get their acts together around their sexuality. And, I mean, just getting, you know, mum and dad talking about sex together. I mean, so many people, so many couples don't talk about their own sex life. If you can't even talk about your sex life with your long-term spouse, how are you going to be able to talk about it with your children? So it's really important that parents become comfortable talking about it themselves and kind of get clear about, well, what are their own beliefs and values and thoughts around sex? So at least when they're talking to their children, they can say, well, look, this is what it is for me. You know, just like food, you know, like I'm a vegetarian, but you don't have to be vegetarian. But, you know, I'm happy to talk to you about meat.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's similar to that. Mm.
Text message says, Tony, let me say that your story about children having sex is shocking. I am a secondary teacher and reject completely what your guest has been saying. Our society has let down children completely. We are too interested in our next investment property than parenting. I spent time with my three sons. There is no substitute for it. CC.
No, absolutely. I don't know why she's saying she doesn't agree. I think we're absolutely on the same page about how, and yes, I agree. I think a lot of parents are too busy focusing on other things rather than making sure that their children are well informed and that as parents they create a safe, comfortable space for their children to be able to talk to them. Because we can't expect the schools to provide all the information that children need.
And particularly as far as young men are concerned, we know that our brain is still developing until the age of 23.
Yes.
So sometimes, even though we have information at our fingertips, it's not necessarily always useful.
Yes. And if a child, a young boy, can talk to his parents, you know, his father in particular, and get some really positive messages, you know, around respect and around, but framing it, you've got to frame it in the term of pleasure. Right? Because, you know, if all you talk about is, well, you've got to be respectful of the woman, you've got to be this and you've got to be that, you know, like, well, you know, the kids are going to go, hang on, I think there's something missing here. And whereas, you know, 20, 30 years ago, before we had the internet, we kind of had to fumble around and figure it out for ourselves. These days, the kids will just go straight to porn and they'll see people appearing to have a fantastic time. And they go, we like that. That's what we want. And I see so many young people coming to see me who all their education has come through porn. And it's completely... Look, there's no. I have no problem with porn per se if people realise it's fiction, it's made up, it's designed to titillate.
Yes.
You know, just like... And I think children can understand that. You know, a lot of young people are playing very violent games and generally they can figure out that that's not real. So I don't need to go out and start killing people on the street just because they do it, you know, on the games. And if you can inform the children that what they see, well, hopefully not children, but, you know, we've got to be open about these things, what they're seeing on porn is not real and that you should not be imitating that or thinking that you should be imitating that.
Sure.
Right. And if we're talking about the young men in particular, I actually find that often it's the young men have huge problems because they think that they're supposed to be able to perform like the porn stars. So they think they've got tiny little penises that don't last long enough. And they've just got all these really crazy ideas about what they should be able to do as a young man. And then, of course, the young women have got these crazy ideas about, hey, bang, they're supposed to be ready like that and...
It's all a bit distorted, I understand.
It's very distorted.
James says, Tony, how you deal with cases where kids get given the talk and kids end up being sexually abused by authority figures? I guess, that, you know, this does happen.
It does happen. And I would like to think that if the better informed a child is, the more likely they are to feel comfortable to... talking to someone about what might be happening and hopefully before it gets too serious. So like if a child, and I mean, I've talked to plenty of clients who have had child sexual abuse and often they didn't feel they had anyone that they could talk to about it, or they tried talking to parents and were told, you know, that they were lying or it was not true and so forth. Right. So then generally the abuse was perpetrated and the poor child had nowhere to go. Right. So, again, it's so important that children feel comfortable being able to talk to, you know, adult figures in their lives, the primary ones, of course, being the parents.
Sure.
And to know that they're safe and that their parents aren't going to freak out or about anything to do with this, you know.
Yeah. Another text says sex between mummy and daddy. She has it right. Not between same sex people. Also, Pete says, hi, Tony, going to apply for drought relief at my place.
Well, that's a big, big problem out there.
Another SMS said, I have a 14-year-old son and don't know what time it is to let him have sex.
Yes, well, I mean, it's not actually the parents' choice as to when their child has sex. That might be a nice fantasy that we all hold, but it generally doesn't work that way. So the best thing you can do as a parent is make sure that your child is well informed so that he or she can make the best decision that they can. And it might not be the one you want them to make, and it might not be completely the best. But
so, Jacqueline, the best approach in your view is to have a chat early on, you know, as we said, you know, there's STDs turning up in South Australia at age 12. So, yes. You know, don't leave it too late.
Yes.
So an early conversation, and then when later in the teenage years, perhaps an update.
Yeah, there's often opportunities. Like if you start, as I said, you know, like we did the cuddle time thing, and you can start that before the children even realise that there's anything to be talked about, so it just becomes natural. Then, you know, you might find that at various times they're touching themselves. Children like to touch themselves because it feels good. So the way you respond to that will affect their attitude to, you know, sexuality. They get a bit older, they have a bit of sex education at school, normally around about year 5 or 6. That's another time to start talking about it. Although if you suspect they might reach puberty early, you might want to be talking about it a bit sooner, or their friends might be, and so forth. So, you know, with each stage you can add a little bit more, and again let them know that it's safe for them to talk to you if they've got
questions. That's the ultimate aim here, to make sure that there's a good flow of conversation, and that if there is a crisis, they're very happy to have a chat, or somebody near and dear who can chat to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because sometimes talking about it with mum and dad is not the easiest ask.
Well, no, but not if you think your mum and dad would feel awkward about it.
Mm.
Yeah. So, which is why, and look, and in the old days it didn't matter so much because we didn't have porn, right? So many people would, you know, get to adolescence and fumble around a bit and then sort of slowly build up to sex at some stage and you kind of figured it out. That's not what's happening these days. And we really need to realise that as parents, right? You can't just hope for the best because they're watching porn.
Yeah. I mean, some parents would say that kids lose their innocence if we talk about sex too soon. What's your take on that?
No, I don't agree with that at all. Like, again, it's taking that view that sex is bad. Like, if you think that sex is bad, and if we tell the children about this bad thing, then they're going to turn out bad. Whereas if we frame it, as I keep saying, you know, that this is lovely, this is about cuddles, this is about love, it's a good thing, then they're not going to lose their innocence. In fact, it's going to be the opposite. Like, as I said, my son was 15 and he's, you know, a very attractive young man, very knowledgeable, lots of girls interested in him. And he took his time and he was like, Mum, you know.
Yeah, but we don't always have a mum who's a sex therapist.
Well, no, and I realise
so that sort of does make a little bit of a difference.
You know? I do. Look, and I realise that, and I'm not saying everyone should be like me or anything, but I can't stress enough that I do really believe it's so important that we as adults and as parents get a little bit more comfortable with sex ourselves, okay? Because if we're not so comfortable with it, how are we going to pass on this positive feeling?
I was going to say, just from my own experience, we had a whole array of parents who were at various stages, you know, some quite prudish, some very avant-garde. In fact, one guy who was in my class at school, they were very frank and, you know, for the era, were, you know, quite explicit. And it sort of actually helped everybody else really a little bit, because the others were a little bit reluctant to even talk about it.
Yeah. Look, and that's fine too. But as I say, I also want to stress that it's not just about talking about it. Like, I mean, if I would think about my own upbringing, you know, my parents are rather shocked that I became a sex therapist. Like, how did that happen? Because they're good Catholics. Yeah. You know, my mother was a convent school girl. She can't quite get her head around it. But you see, the thing about my parents, even though they didn't talk about sex, is they were incredibly affectionate and loving with each other. You know, they had a lovely relationship. There was lots of physical affection. They'd kiss in public and giggle a little bit like kids and stuff. So, you know, and Dad was always really, really respectful to Mum and things like that. So it's that, and that's the thing about sex not just being about, you know, penises in vaginas and stuff like that. It's about sex being an outflow of a positive relationship, right? So if we're modelling that to our children, if we're modelling affection to each other as the parents, you know, as partners, whatever the genders happen to be, or however many there happen to be, if we're modelling that, then the children will naturally start picking up that relationship intimacy, because it's actually, we're talking about intimacy. They get that intimacy, love, sex. You start feeding in things like, well, you know, as you get older, then you like to be naked together, and you know, they kind of get that stuff. Kids aren't actually that stupid.
Tom says, I'm astounded at the easy access to porn children have online. Says, I always ask the question as to why it can't be regulated or harder to access. As a primary teacher, he says, I'm amazed listening to the conversations of children, and I'm sure many parents would be shocked to learn what their children are viewing.
Yeah, they would be. You know, and sometimes children just stumble across it by mistake, or even if they're not actually seeing, like, you know, hardcore porn with, you know, people in action, the number of times you'll see these kind of Barbie doll pneumatic blondes kind of decorating the edges of websites and, you know, just flashes up, all of that sort of thing. Yeah, there's a lot of it out there.
I guess parents are worried that they're going to act it out before they're emotionally mature, but I guess that's just part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a risk. And look, kids have always been acting out like that. I mean, you know, doctors and nurses and stuff, you know, it goes back to ancient, you know, antiquity and so forth. So it's not like suddenly everything's changed, you know. I'm sure a lot of parents, if they thought back to their own childhood, played a bit of doctors and nurses, or you show me yours, I'll show you mine sort of thing.
Somebody has asked, should we wait for our children to ask questions before we talk about it? Or should we introduce the subject?
Yeah, look, you can sort of suggest it to your children, but you can't force it upon them, you know. I mean, being a good sex therapist mother, I tried to introduce it to my daughter earlier than she was ready. I said, would you like to look at this book? And she goes, Mum, no, that's like really embarrassing. Could you just like put it away?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. Just like, if you're ready, you know. She goes, yes, Mum, I know. So you can't. You don't want to force it upon them. You don't want to traumatise them.
And often within the same family, you're going to get a different reaction at a different age.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, children are very individual. And often the younger ones will be a little bit more aware because, you know, the older ones might already have boyfriends or girlfriends, will be talking about it and things like that. So
many parents are horrified when their child displays an interest in sexual issues or certain sexual behaviours. What's the best way of dealing with it?
Well, again, normalise it. Okay, so if a child is playing with themselves, which is what you would normally get, it's absolutely normal for children to find touching their genitals appealing. It's enjoyable. It's enjoyable from birth. It's not something that suddenly happens at puberty, right? And certainly most males would have continued playing with their penises right from, I don't know, I think my sons started when they were probably, what, about 4 months old, right? It's a little bit different for girls because quite often girls are traumatised fairly early on by their parents' horrified reactions to them touching themselves. Yeah. And for most little girls who would have been touching themselves as toddlers and their parents going, oh, that's disgusting, you know, slap, 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 don't dare do that, you know, you revolting child, does tend to sort of make girls turn off from touching themselves. And I've heard so many stories like that, like when I'm running workshops and retreats and things and we often share stories, how many women say that their early experiences of touching themselves were met with horror. And obviously that we're talking later than toddlers because you can remember that time.
And obviously you can be quite scarred at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Greg says, you know, the media focus really does cheapen this issue as well.
Oh, look, I agree. You know, we've got this whole porn star versus prude approach to sex. That's what I call it in our society. And it's just from one extreme to another, where it's either that sort of, you know, like sex is the sort of like this bad thing that we shouldn't talk about and we kind of pretend that children aren't sexual and we shouldn't talk to them. And then at the other extreme, it's like, you know, it's all porn and out there and but still bad somehow, you know. And there's where's this wonderful space of sex as being this beautiful, loving, wonderful expression of ourselves? That's what we need to get across to our children. And I believe that the home is the place to get that across. Yeah.
Al says we're dairy farmers and the kids spend a lot of time on the farm.
They know a lot.
And how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris, I ask? Not easy at all. It's one of those things where, you know, you'd like to put an old head on young shoulders, but it's one of those things where, I guess, you know, you will, you know, develop as you develop and, well, you know, you've just got to know that, you know, somebody's out there who is happy to help, you know, if there's any stumbling blocks.
Yes, yeah, and I think it's good for parents to become aware of resources and so forth that are available.
And also, safer sex is important. As we were saying earlier, you know, the cases of chlamydia and gonorrhea are extraordinary. And
I mean, personally, I think that people should be teaching young girls how to put condoms on with their mouths. Now, I know that would horrify people to think that their teenage daughter would know how to do that. But the trouble is, the boys are all saying, no, no, no. You know, don't want to wear a condom. Condoms aren't cool. No one wears a condom on porn. But if you if a girl says to the guy, you know, well, how about I put it on with my mouth?
Yeah.
That just changes the whole story, right? Now, I teach women how to put condoms on with their mouths in my workshops, but they're all over 18.
I'm imagining a lot
they need it younger than that.
A lot of mums would be saying, maybe not somewhere where I want to go.
Well, no, I know, and it's true, but then guess what?
Yeah.
Their daughters are getting gonorrhea and chlamydia.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, at some stage, you've got to get real about this. Okay? We can either live in fantasy world and just, you know, hope and pray that if our children, God forbid, have sex, they practice safe sex. Or we can sort of say to them, look, this is what you need to do, right? So that you don't get these horrible diseases. And this is how you make it fun. Right? Okay? So it comes back to that thing. You know, I work with young people, but they're all over 18, about how to use condoms, how to bring condoms into your love make. And not just with young people, actually, because a lot of older people are hitting the single scene again after ending long-term relationships. And they were like, ah, how do we do the condom thing, you know? So I'm sort of talking to them about, yeah, make it fun. You know, like just make it part of the process instead of like this awkward thing. And I tell you what, if as a woman you know how to put a condom on with your mouth, you're way more likely to end up with a condom on the penis, I can assure you.
And longer term, that is an important issue.
Well, it is.
Absolutely. Jacqueline Hellier is with us tonight, a sex therapist. And I'm wondering whether you'd like to talk about this issue. Perhaps it's something that you really struggle with as a parent. Perhaps it's something that you're not looking forward to in the short term. Perhaps you've had an issue where, you know, you didn't feel that the children were, you know, sort of as advanced as they were. As we said, we had a primary school teacher saying that a lot of his students are very knowledgeable, and it's because they have the internet. It's because they have such instant access to a lot of material these days. It's a very sophisticated world, and it is very, very hard sometimes to, you know, deal with issues that occur quickly. You know, people come of age, they, discover sex, and all of a sudden they want to do it yesterday, you know?
Well, yes, absolutely. And so as parents, you need to be quite mindful about, you know, what your children are getting up to. And I actually think encourage them to have, you know, quality relationships, you know. Don't sort of go, oh, no, you can't have a boyfriend or you're too young for a girlfriend. Just say, hey, yeah, it's good. Get to know them so you've got a bit of a feel for them. I mean, I've let my son have his girlfriend over, you know, from the age of 16, the lad to stay, because I tell you what, I'd much rather that they were, you know, if they're going to engage in sex, that they do it in a comfortable, safe space. Unfortunately, her parents agree as well, but they're German, so they probably would be fairly open-minded.
Sure.
Yeah, rather than having to kind of do it somewhere and, you know, and I've told him where the condoms are if he needs to get hold of any. And, you know, like, I know a lot of parents would be going, oh, that's terrible, but, you know, they do it.
I'm wondering whether you'd like to join us. Please do.
Across Australia, you're with Tony Delroy on Nightlife. It's Nightlife.
And we're talking about bringing kids up as positive users of sex. Jacqueline Hellier is with us tonight, sex therapist, and happy to take your calls at this time. Greg, you say sex education needs really to come from home, not the school.
Yes, g'day Tony and g'day Jacqueline.
Hello.
Yes, I'm 61 and I came from a sexually repressed household.
Mm.
And as a result, I didn't sort of get into sex until my 20s.
Yep.
And I would have preferred to have been given that kind of input in a safe environment from people I trusted, but yep. I never got it.
Mm.
And most of my sexual knowledge comes from Playboy.
Yes. Yes.
And as a result, I think it's important that schools can give them sort of like, you know, the A, B, C and D.
Yep.
But the whole side of it, it's got to come from people who can at least be accepting of the importance of the issue.
Yep, I completely agree with you. And you know, you're reinforcing what I've been saying, that there is a role for the schools to, you know, impart certain amounts of information. But then it's really important that the parents provide, you know, yeah, as you said, a safe space where you can talk about it and feel comfortable opening up and asking questions from your respected elders. Yeah, that's terrific.
I've got to say, my dad just threw a book at me and said, good luck.
And can I just stress on that point too to the listeners? Like, most of us didn't have particularly open-minded parents.
Yes.
And so, but that's no excuse for us not to be open-minded. Mm. You know, like, we don't want to, you know, follow on from our footsteps and cause our children the same pain that we may well have had.
Yeah, good point you made, Greg. Thanks for that.
Yes, thank you.
Let's have a quick word with Tess. Tess, you're saying you're now looking forward to having the talk.
Yeah. I've got my 6, 4, and 2-year-old. They're all asleep now, and for once I'm not. And I was always worried. And here I am. I didn't even turn the TV on. I just left the radio on. It was amazing, this, what I've just heard you say.
Yeah,
I've lifted my voice because I yelled at him this morning. Mm. But oh, it happens. I only have to yell once and it's gone. But anyway, to have this conversation with them now, while I was listening to you, I was sitting there thinking, I'm actually going to teach my boys how to teach the girls how to put the condoms on.
Yes.
Because they're boys, you know. Yep. And that, I am absolutely, I want to go to sleep now, but now I'm totally buzzed up.
Yeah.
I've just heard from you because you've taken away all the fear to talk about to my kids.
Terrific.
A quick thing, when I was a kid, there was sex education at the primary school.
Yes.
And we were brought up Catholics, and it was only about making babies.
Oh, yes. Yes, reproduction education.
The next thing we got, I was somewhere in my teens. I was molested my whole childhood from up until 16 when I left home.
Yep.
And then my next thing was porn.
Yep.
That's my next sex education thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but unfortunately it's so common.
I'm nearly 40 now. Only in the last 5 years, you know, I've come to a place where, that wasn't me. That was them. And that thing you were saying about porn and the first thing you see, I saw it on Q&A or some show like that, about the problem is some of the first things kids see is porn, and it's destroying their perception, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely.
It's amazing as well. It was just so close to the lines of what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's why it's so important that you start talking to your kids now about cuddle time and that you model a positive, affectionate relationship with their father.
Calling your voice down, playing this epic. Me and Dad are going to have a yarn. That's what we've been, but now I'm changing it to cuddle time.
Cuddle time from here on, Tess.
I think cuddle time's the way to go.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you, Tess.
Peter, you want to disagree. You say not all kids are promiscuous.
No. No, not at all, Tony. My son is a Christian, and he's vowed not to have sex until he gets married, and that's, you know, and good luck to him.
Yep.
But my daughter, who has a boyfriend, and they sleep together, but she has said, Dad, I am staying a virgin for as long as I can.
Yep.
And the boyfriend accepts that. And whilst I understand about the penis, the contraceptives going on, I think that's a good idea. I don't have a problem with that. But I really think you've got to let them think for themselves.
Yes,
and
I would agree.
I don't
completely
quite agree with you handing out condoms or saying that's where they are.
Well, only if you know that your child is going to be having sex. Like, I mean, I would have to congratulate you that you've clearly raised your children up to be very sex aware and very self-aware. But they can say to you,
credit for that.
Well, however, you must have modelled something positive there, because they're saying, this is what we're choosing to do, Dad. And, you know, they are making their own choices. And that's what your children are choosing. Another child might say, you know, Dad, I do want to, you know, start being sexual with my girlfriend, and have you got any advice on condoms?
Yeah,
and, you know, I'd like to think that a dad in that situation would go, here you go, son, you know what to do with them, and any questions, you know where to come.
Better than safe than sorry, as they say.
Yes.
Ian, you've split from your partner and you're having a few issues talking about sex with the kids.
Yeah, well, it's not now particularly, but a few years ago when I had a new partner, and a very angry ex, and a young boy who was about about 5 or 6 then, and an ex who was looking for any bit of sexuality between us as potentially abusive towards him.
Right.
He actually asked, he's 11 now, he asked me a question the other day, and I've been a bit inspired to go back and talk to him again about it, because he brought it up, and that relationship's all settled out and everything, that's fine now. But there was a bit where I probably just shut that off in terms of talking to him because of that, like a potential family law issue, basically.
Yes, it's sad that you're saying that you had to do that. I have heard other cases similar where you just, the father's just worried about saying anything in case it gets turned against him, or the other way around, I suppose, it would happen too. But yeah, but again, it's that fear-based attitude to sex and damaging children. But I'm glad to hear you've moved on from that.
Yes.
So, Ian, the conversation became a conversation rather than just an instruction moment.
No, it hasn't yet. but I just realised there was this little sort of few years where, like we're talking about cuddle time, if it had gone back to his mother, would have been,
yes.
What are you doing in front of him, kind of. When you're making sure you've got, you're trying to maintain access and all that kind of stuff is... you don't want to give any ammunition to an angry...
Yes,
very true.
Sounds wise. But he's 11 now. It's a good time to start, broaching the subject again.
Absolutely.
He'll probably be getting sex ed at school soon, so that's always a good time to start having some discussions.
Raise the issue. Richard, you used personal experience to talk to your kids.
Yes, Tony. Hi, how are you going?
Hey, Richard.
Hello.
I did. One of the reasons I did was that my father... I'm one of 6 children. We were born and bred on the land, and I relate to your comments earlier about, animals breeding daily in front of your very eyes. Anyway, my father, when I was about 15, just about 16, said to me, son, it's time we had a bit of a talk about the birds and bees. And so we went down, we sat down on the old farm trailer, and I said, "Rightio, Dad, what do you want to know?"
That's
weird. Because the subject had never been raised ever before, but by that stage I knew
a lot
more than what most kids would, I suppose.
Yeah.
From a personal point of view, I pulled my son aside when he was about 12.
Mm-hmm.
And progressively gave him a little bit more, on a basis of know what you need to know, so that he understood it. And I explained to him exactly what the function of the penis was, apart from urinating, and what the physical attributes of the vagina was, and how the clitoris came into the whole aspect of it.
Very good, yes.
All that sort of thing, and even got to the point of where I drew drawings for him, showing him exactly where the clitoris was located, and
terrific.
And why it was important for women to know that you knew about that, and all that sort of thing, and My son's turned out just fine, and unfortunately the only thing is he's got too many girlfriends. But
I'm not surprised, he's too well informed.
Maybe they've probably heard.
Not that a man can be ever be too well informed to be a great lover. Mm. But can I just add something there that I love, the sense of humour that you bring to the whole thing. Because, too many people think that, sex has got to be really heavy and talking about it's got to be really heavy and serious. But no, it can be light and fun and... tell some jokes and
For that very reason that I both my kids were growing up, I told them this little story about how when I was a kid I used to have a bath with my cousin when we were about 3 years old.
Yes.
And she pointed to my penis and said, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know. Really?" He said, "Oh, what's it for?" I said, "Well, I don't know." And she said, "Well, can I play with it?" And I said, "No way, you've already broken yours off."
Enough said, Richard. Stephen, you're saying, how do you talk about the legal side of young sex?
Yeah, what I was getting at is I understand where the conversation's going, but the perspective of the legislative side of it, where children under 18 actually really aren't meant to do it. So often to try and say to 18-year-old boys or 7-year-old boys, listen, you can't just head off with a 14-year-old and think that it's all okay. How do you address that side of it?
Oh, I think it's just be quite straightforward about it and say that, you know, when you're teenagers, there's a big difference in, you know, 1 or 2 years in terms of your maturity. So that's why it's important that teenagers tend to go out with other teenagers of about the same age. And, you know, if they ask more questions about it, you could say, well, in fact, it's actually enshrined in law. That's how important it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, please make sure that you only go out with a girl, you know, your age or a year younger.
Age.
Yeah. I mean, it tends to sort of happen more naturally anyway. Teenagers do tend to go out and hang out with kids about the same age anyway. But
yeah, no, I understand that. I see sometimes a 7-year-old boy that's off with a 14 or 15-year-old girl, and it all seems it's okay. And and all of a sudden the parents are jumping up and down saying, well, hang on a little minute, you're 2 or 3 years older than her, and this shouldn't have happened, and then knocking on the police station door.
Yes. Yeah, that's unfortunate. But I think as a parent, if you notice that your child does seem to, or your teenager's hanging out with a girl, potentially as a girlfriend, who's quite a bit younger, you might want to have a little bit of a chat about that and just kind of go, look, are you aware of the, you know, look, it's partly illegal, but it's legal for a reason, and she probably is a bit young for you, and you know, that sort of approach.
Good luck. Thank you for the call. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for tonight, and I apologise to the callers we didn't get to, but Jacqueline, always good to catch up. And
yes, well, they can always contact me on my website. Can we mention that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, JacquelineHellier.com. And send me your questions, come see me, whatever.
Yep, JacquelineHellier.com.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks for that.